Welcome to part two of our series, Frequency. So glad to have you here today. And before we do anything else, as I always do at this point in the service, I'd just like to welcome all those that are a part of our service today that aren't in-house but are actually watching live online. We're so glad to have you along for the ride. Come on, everybody, let's welcome them. Yes, show them some love. And let me just say, I was a part of that campus church last week, the online campus, as I was out of town. And I have to be honest, I can't tell you the last year, not only I have not missed church, but the last year I have missed specifically Cross Point. I make it a point to always be here, but some of the staff here were very encouraging to me to say, Pastor, you need to get away with your family. So we had some extended time on vacation, and I just want to give a shout out to those, that team that was really here just doing an amazing job last week. Come on, Dream Team, I love you, appreciate you. I mean, you guys are awesome. So thankful for the group that was here last week just doing a phenomenal job. It was an opportunity where we were able to get be refreshed. And I must say, I had the opportunity to be in service with my folks in Orlando and attend church with my family there. It was just a great opportunity for us just to be a part of a service together. It was just a wonderful time. But I must tell you, it was an early service, so we got out about 10:30. So about 10:25, they're about to conclude, but I'm already pulling you guys up at 10:25 on my phone, and I'm like, I'm trying not to let anybody see it there because I'm already in service with you, not them at that point. In fact, I was in the lobby kind of shaking hands, and I had you tucked away, and I was like peeking. There they are, headed in my pocket, you know, there they are. And it was awesome. I was trying to do a bunch of likes on there, and Laura did a fantastic job last week bringing the first installment of this series on Frequency, did a fantastic job. But it was a great opportunity that we had to be refreshed last week, and I just thank you for allowing us to be away. I actually brought a little show and tell with me today. There's a picture of us at Disney Springs. That's where you can go to Disney and it doesn't cost you anything. I highly recommend it. As long as you don't buy anything, you're good. But we went by there and there was a place called the Rainforest. So I just want to show you this. And then let me just preface this next pic I want to show you. But my I don't know what it is with my sons, but they have this thing about Jurassic Park that I don't have about Jurassic Park, okay? They like Jurassic Park stuff. And every time they show the reruns on TV and I walk in the room and there's like this flying, humongous, prehistoric animal gobbling up people and tearing them in half, I'm saying, please, turn it off. I can't take it. There's just something about bones crushing with dinosaurs, you know. Anyway, I just don't like it. So we happened to be in this place, and this is what it does to me. Let me show you this pic, just to show you. And we ran into one, and so it's frightening. But anyway, we had a great time. Somebody said, "Did you relax?" I said, "I'm not sure about relaxing, but we sure had a change of pace because we just had a great time. My wife and I like to get up at the before dawn and see the sunrise every morning, and it's just a great time. We did, you name it, we did it. We did some canoeing. It was just a great time to get away. But I really, really miss you guys. I feel like I've been away for a year, and I'm trying to catch up. I've been gone one Sunday. But as we started last week, though, we launched what we do around here a couple times a year, and that's our 21 days of prayer. And what a great time it is when we can just set aside a time where we can just go all in and really just allow God to speak to us. And how many knows that God still speaks today? We can still hear God's voice. Now, there's some people that think that's kind of weird. You know, it's okay if you're talking to God, but if God's talking to you, that may be, well, actually, God does still talk to us today. The problem is with that is that he's speaking, but oftentimes we're on a different frequency. And so Laura unpacked this first installment last week as she talked about preparing to hear, and she kind of just kind of helped prepare the heart and preparing to hear God's voice. And she did a beautiful job as she went through the parable of the sower expositorily is how she went through that and talked about the heart, how the heart sometimes, it can be a polluted heart, it can be a distracted heart, or even the heart at times, for come on now, it can be an immature heart. But God is looking for us to have a prepared heart, and we get there through, as she laid out, through repentance. That's just simply turning to Him and refocusing on Him and allowing Him then to revive us. And so and she pointed out that God's voice is clearest in a prepared environment. So I want to thank her for laying that out. Did a phenomenal job with that. Today we're going to talk about this idea, and that is that He speaks to me. He speaks to me. So you've got some message notes there in your worship guide. I want to encourage you to use those, and we're going to have some things to fill in there. And if you're watching online, those notes are there. You can download those and follow along with us. And by the way, as I'm talking about online, let me also mention that if you missed last week, you need to go back and hear that again. All of our messages are archived online at crosspointworshipcenter.com. So check that out. But let's begin with this scripture that's found in John chapter 10 and verse 3 that says the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. It goes on to say, when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Very interesting how each shepherd specifically knows. There could be another shepherd there, but the shepherd of the flock that belongs to a specific shepherd, they'll respond only to the shepherd, their own shepherd's voice. That's amazing. If you've ever seen that, I actually saw a video one time of people, that was some tourists, and they were doing the right calls for the sheep to respond, and the sheep were not responding. They were just grazing and going about their business. But then when their shepherd spoke, immediately they began to run to the shepherd. And we need to be that way. God does speak to us, but oftentimes we just need to get in tune with His voice. So to unpack this particular installment, I want to take you to a scripture that's found in 1 Samuel. I'm going to read a good bit of passage here, and then we're going to sort of just break this out for you. But 1 Samuel chapter 3, let me share this story with you. Beginning in verse 1, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. So God wasn't speaking as often. Perhaps it was, again, maybe it wasn't so much God as the people were in a place where they weren't in a place to receive or to hear God's voice. It wasn't that common. And there were not many visions at that time. And so one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. He had a usual place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Praise God for that. God was still speaking, still connecting to mankind. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. So Samuel was there very close. And I want you to see that. He was very close. In fact, most theologians say that Samuel was only about 12 years old. He was just a boy, okay? And yet he was very close to the presence of God where he was lying. And it says, then the Lord is called Samuel. And so the Lord spoke to Samuel, the little 12-year-old now. It wasn't speaking to Eli, the prophet. He was speaking, the priest of that, the minister of that time. He was speaking to, come on, to Samuel. And Samuel, as a lad, as a boy, he's speaking to him, and he says, Samuel. He calls out his name, Samuel. And so he called Samuel, and Samuel answered and said, here I am. Now, he didn't understand that it was the voice of God. And so he ran to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back to bed, is what he said. Come on, parents. Come on. Hey, I didn't call you. Would you go back to bed? Just go back to bed. Go back and lie down. And he went and lay down. Verse 6, and again the Lord called. And I love this. Don't you love this? And again, the Lord called. So if he missed the call the first time, if he didn't hear God's voice on first call, the scripture shows that God called again. I'm thankful for that, that God will call again. And then he said, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me. I know you called me." So he says, "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Verse 7, so Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. So he's still young, still trying to figure this out. He was not a professional, okay? He wasn't a professional. He was learning this thing. And he's trying to understand. So he did not yet know the Lord. The Lord had, his word hadn't been revealed to him. Verse 8, there's a third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up, went to Eli again and said, "Here I am. You called me." And Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. And so in verse 9, he says, So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" I want to tell you, that needs to be our response. We need to be able to know how to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10, the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Look at verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle." I love this. The Lord said to Samuel, "I'm about to do something." I want us to see this. You know, God is an announcing God. He likes to announce something. It's like he can't hold it himself. He has to share it. He doesn't just do something. He announces something. He announced to Moses, "I'm about to deliver the children of Israel." He announced to Mary, "I'm about to do something. His name is Jesus, and he's going to save his people from their sins." He announced to the shepherds, "I'm about to do something that's going to change the world." He said, I'm about to do something. He's an announcer. It's like he can't help but share it. You know, I'm an announcing dad. You know, at times I announce things. Boys, you're cutting up in there. Don't make me get up. I'm coming in there. I'm announcing, you know. Don't make me come in your room. You don't want me to come in. I announce things. You know, God's an announcer. He announces things that are about to take place, that are going to happen. I just want to tell you, I believe he's still an announcer, and he wants to announce things, does he? Wants to speak things into our life. And it says that he stayed there, that Eli stayed in that place waiting to hear the voice of the Lord. He was wanting to hear. He lay down. He wanted to hear. Verse 15 says that he laid down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And it says he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. He ends up going ahead and he tells Eli what God had shared with him, but God had a message for him to deliver. But he stayed there listening to the voice of God at the doors of the house. I just love this. I love these verses. I love these scriptures. I love that God spoke to Samuel, even though Samuel didn't understand it. God didn't give up on him after the first time. Come on. Some of you say, "Well, God spoke to me back then, but then this happened and that happened, and I went this way and that way, and I missed the opportunity." Let me tell you something. I'm thankful that God speaks a first time, and he speaks a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time, and God doesn't give up on us. God wants to speak into our life if we'll let him, if we'll listen to him. Amen, everybody? That's good news. I just love that about our God. And see, there's something about these scriptures that helps me regarding prayer. Because at times, if we're not careful, we can fall into the trap of thinking that God doesn't want to speak to me. You know, perhaps God wants to speak to the religious elite. He wants to speak to those on the top shelf. Come on. The special edition of a Christian. The special giants of the faith. But we can have, if we're not careful, we can have the habit of comparing ourselves to other people that are so perfect. And so we think that God just wants to talk to the perfect people, to those elite people, those in that holiest of places. You know, he wants to speak to Eli, but I'm just a little Samuel. He doesn't really want to speak to me. I'm a nobody. But he does. He wants to speak to us. And we're thinking, well, no, because you see, God knows my struggle. He knows my sin. He knows my situation. He knows my shortcomings. He knows I haven't read my Bible like I should be reading my Bible. He knows the ebb and flow of life as it relates with with me in prayer. He knows that I don't always serve him with my whole heart. He knows that I get distracted. And so there's times I'm just not where I need to be, and I'm like that. Therefore, I'm excluded from hearing God's voice. And so when we start thinking that way and we start believing that God speaks to them, but God just doesn't speak to me. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can be that way in church. God will speak to the preacher, and I get it from the preacher, but he ain't going to speak directly to me. Guess what? You got a direct line just like I do. In fact, you don't have to go through me. The Bible says our high priest is Jesus Christ himself, and he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, and he is a high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. That means he knows what we've gone through. He experienced it all when he came to this earth. He can relate to us. He can say when we're going through something, Father, I've been through that. I know how that feels. We need to help him. We can. And he intercedes. He's always interceding for us. Isn't that beautiful? So we have a direct line to him. In fact, let me just say, as we're talking about this topic, he speaks to me. He can be speaking to you right now, even as I'm speaking. And I'm saying one thing, but maybe even around that, God can speak to you in places that I don't even have any idea what's going on there, but God's speaking to you. I just want to say, be open to his voice, because God still speaks. Amen? God still speaks. So here we are. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we discover that God enjoyed speaking to regular people who at times don't always get it exactly right. And I don't know, but that gives me hope. And I wish I responded every time in obedience to his voice. Come on, let's be real. But sometimes I don't. But 1 Samuel chapter 3 teaches us that if I can just keep a humble and a surrendered heart. Come on. We're in this 21 days of prayer. We do this at the beginning of the year because we believe what we do first affects the rest. We give God the first. He takes care of the rest. So we do actually 21 days of prayer and fasting. In August, we feel like, you know, we're about to reap a harvest in the fall, and so we're going to prepare ourselves for that. We're going to get close to God. Sometimes there's that summer slump, you know. Come on. We know it around here, at the beach, at the mountains, right? Just experience that, and we get into that little, and we kind of get lazy spiritually. And so it's a time where we can go all in. In August, we call it prayer and feasting. You don't have to fast, but if you want to, that's cool. But you know, maybe it's not prayer and fasting, maybe it's prayer and feasting. But we're going to go all in. We're going to go all in. We're going to go after God. We're going to seek him with our heart. We're going to have a surrendered heart. And I believe in this 21 days, and we're on day 8 right now, we're believing God's going to speak to us. I encourage you every day, go online, go to crosspointworshipcenter.com and go to the link and connect with a live service that happens our time, 7 to 8 every morning, Monday through Friday. On Saturdays, it's from 10 to 11. We'd love to have you join with us. And here we'll be meeting here live on Saturdays from 10 to 11 during those times. And if you can't watch it then, those services are archived. You can go back and put it on later in the day. And just take an hour, just 1 hour. Take an hour. Spend time with God. You'll see thousands of other people. You'll hear a word of encouragement. And hundreds of other churches are connecting this way during this 21 days of prayer. Join with us on that. And we would love to have you be a part of that. But go on in, because he is speaking. I want to give you some practical things here that we can learn from this passage of Scripture that will help us know how to go after God and to be able to hear his voice. Number one, I just talked about it, and that is have a humble heart, because a humble heart ushers in the voice of God. Write that down. A humble heart ushers in the voice of God. And I gave you a large passage of Scripture, so I'm not trying to give you a whole bunch more Scriptures with every point here, but I do want to give you a few here that are not there for you in your notes. So just kind of record the location of these scriptures. I think that's going to help us, especially in this area of having a humble heart, because I really believe it starts there. Having a humble heart. It takes humility to come and kneel before the Lord. It takes humility to take time and say, God, I can't do this in myself. I can't think myself through this that I'm in. I can't maneuver my way through life. I must have your guidance. I need to hear your voice. I need to have your direction to direct my life. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, but he gives grace, he gives us more grace. And it says that that's why the scriptures say God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. One translation said God resists the proud. I don't want to be, I want God to resist me. I want his favor. Amen. It says it, he gives grace to the humble or shows favor to the humble. It starts with humility. In fact, Proverbs chapter 6 lists several things that God hates. It says there's six and actually seven's an abomination. It says that there's these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. And let me just go through those. But the first one on the list, look at that, is a proud look. A proud look. Pride. God hates pride. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And here's the seventh one that is called an abomination. And one who sows discord among brethren. So he wants us to, there needs to be harmony, right? He works in unity. But number one on the list that makes everything else work in our life is having humility. Humility. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. And this, I don't know, anybody got the Bible app? Anybody do the Bible app? YouVersion? Friday, verse of the day, this was powerful. I was actually walking down the beach, a Florida beach, reading this with my wife. And I was, oh, this one's good. And so I just inserted this in today's message. It says this, people who accept discipline are on the pathway to life. In other words, you got to be humble to be able to accept discipline. You know why? Because discipline or correction, let's just word it that way, it means that there's something you're not doing right and you need to be corrected, and God's going to help correct you so that you can find the path of life. But the nature of that is that it's something that we disagree with. In other words, if at times correction or discipline or counsel is actually opposite of the way we're thinking. Do you know when you're going through something, you're the last person that should take your advice? Because you're in that thing and you can't see clearly. And so you're thinking one way, but correction is going to rub you wrong because it's going to say, actually, it's this. Oh, but to be able to go from, come on, where we think we should be to where God's, and it may just be a minor adjustment, it may be a complete turnaround. God needs to kind of just, right? But we've got to be able to be humble to be able to receive correction. May God always help us at Crosspoint to have a teachable heart. May God always help us to have a humble heart, because I don't want to be off course. Come on, I don't want to get away from where God, I don't want to be off course where I'm hearing everybody else's voice and not God's voice. I want to be able to be corrected and be brought on and look. But then it goes on to say, but those who ignore correction will go astray. You say, well, I don't want to hear it. I know what I'm doing. You know, I got it together. No, you know what? No one likes a know-it-all, right? I know it. I know what I'm doing. I'm right. And what happens is you can't talk to somebody that way because they're so full of whatever that their ears are clogged up. They don't hear you. I know what I'm doing. I'm going this way. La, 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 la. I can't do it. I got one. La, 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 la. You know, and they just keep going, right? Because they're full. Listen. In order for you, for anything to get in, for the ears to come unstopped and hear God's voice because he is speaking, you got to have humility to say, oh, I could be wrong. Maybe I need to hear this. It may be an ouch. It may hurt. But, hey, I need to have a receptive spirit. And I just want to go a step further with that. We need to be Christians who are set on receiving from God. It shouldn't be hard. You know, a mule, they say to get a mule's attention, sometimes you got to hit them upside the head. I mean, this is old school, okay? It's not probably proper today, but you got to hit them upside the head just to get their attention because they're stubborn. God lost pay a little bit. He was long-suffering, let's put it this way, with Israel, but they were a stiff-necked people. Just stiff-necked. You can't turn them. But God's looking for a people who is already, their default is to be humble, to have humility, to say, oh, God, I'm open. You know, it shouldn't be work, right, for God to speak into our life. We should have a humble heart. I'm just spending a little time here. I just feel like that one's important. Isaiah 57 puts it this way. It's just beautiful. Verse 15 says, For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell, this is where he dwells, in the high and holy place, and look at this, with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. Those that have that kind of spirit, he's walking with you. He's talking with you. He resides. He's welcome there. He's at home there to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. What a beautiful passage of scripture. So listen, a humble heart, here's what it does. It gives you fresh ears. It gives you fresh ears. A humble heart is really the prepared soil to hear God's voice. So again, God did not choose to speak to established religious people. He spoke to this young person here in this scripture. A young person. Now that may trouble some of us. He spoke to a young person and not the old guy. And I'm old now, see. I'm having a birthday Thursday, by the way. I'm getting older every day, you know. But here's the deal. It's not just about the number. It's about being young in heart. You ever notice God uses young people? Oh, God, give us a church full of young people. Come on, help us to reach the youth. Help us to reach the younger generation today, right? But God speaks because sometimes we get older. We just, again, we know it all. We've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. You know, we can't teach us anything new. But may we always be young in heart. Come on. May we always be young in our faith. May we always be young saying 21 days of prayer. Yes, I want to be there. I'm going to find a time during those 21 days. I'm going to go after God because I need him. I'm going to have a young set of ears to hear God's voice. God, I don't know it all. It's not clogged off up with what all I know. God, I don't know it all. I need you. I have great need of you. God, I'm open to you. I'm ready to hear your voice. May God help us be young in our faith, young in our serving, young in our giving. Come on, somebody. The Bible teaches actually that those that are of the kingdom of God are children. The disciples said, oh, get those kids off of Jesus. They're bothering him. And he says, no. Let them come because such is the kingdom of God. And he shows us that we need to be childlike to come to him. I didn't say childish. I said childlike. There's a difference, okay? But to be humble and to be childlike, to be received from him. And so that's why we do the growth track. Come on. I don't know it all. I need to go through the growth track. I want to learn, how's God made me? What's my DNA? What's God called me to be? How's he wired me? Let me discover my purpose. Let me get on a team making a difference. I want to serve somebody else. I want to make a difference. Come on. That's why we do that. And helping you decide there's two great times in your life, when you're born and when you figure out why you're born, right? And so we help you with that, with the growth track. That's why we do that. So it begins with a humble heart. I'm going to move a little bit quicker through the rest of these. Number two, every verse speaks his voice. Every verse. And so there's so much potential in every passage of the Bible. And when you mix it with faith, it becomes purpose and truth in your life. So you got to mix it with faith. But at that point, it becomes purpose and truth in your life. You see, God is a talking God. God is a communicating God. God is a God who wants to have relationship. At the beginning with Adam and Eve, he fellowshiped with them in the cool of the day. He walked in the garden with them. He talked with them. He wants relationship. He wants to speak to us. But it involves communication. Every verse speaks his voice. He's a communicating God. And so that's why when we talk about a husband and wife, what is one of the greatest things of that relationship is having good communication. If we're going to have a right relationship with God, we need to have good communication with him. So that's why what we do is important here. That's why we go to church. We want to hear God speaking to us. That's why we get in small groups, because we want to hear God speaking. That's why we engage in prayer emphasis and get into his word, because we want to hear his voice. And someone once said, when you can't hear God, read God. I think that's good. When you can't hear God, read God. He's speaking to us all the time through his word. Read his word. David said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Right? I heard someone say, sinning will keep you from reading this Bible, but reading this Bible will keep you from sinning. Isn't that good? That's some of my father's wisdom there. He used to say that a lot. Listen, so get into his word. Every verse speaks his voice. Third, value his voice above all. Last week, Laura did a great job talking about eliminating distractions. Eliminating distractions. His voice above everything else. You want to hear his voice. You know, Samuel's mother, her name was Hannah. She was a praying mother, and she was barren, and she came to the house of God needing to hear God's voice. And Eli said, well, you're getting a little bit carried away here. And she said, you don't understand. I'm barren. I need a child. I'm petitioning God for a child. Something's got to happen in my life. I'm desperate. I'm barren. Some of you may be desperate this morning. You're experiencing barrenness of a different kind, but you need something happening in your life. Listen, go after God. Come on. He will never let you down. Come on. He's a good God. He delights to give good gifts to us. And so she was there praying, and Eli spoke the word of the Lord to her that she would have a child. And she said, well, I will dedicate him to the Lord. I will dedicate him to the house of the Lord all the days of his life. And so a year later, she's dedicating him to the Lord. She gives him then to the Lord. And come on, his voice above all, all she needed to hear was the word that God was going to has answered her prayer. And look, God responded. Come on, God answered her prayer. His voice is so valuable. The psalmist said, your words are a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's above everything else. Come on, value hearing his voice and his word. Let me put it to you this way. Write this one down. I think this is worth writing down. See, here's the way it comes when it comes to hearing God's voice. We want to turn up his voice, but he's wanting to turn down our lives. Right? God, I just wish you could speak a little louder. Well, I'm speaking, but you just need to turn down your lives. Come on, kids, can't hear. Turning up the volume on the radio. You're trying to shout over each other. You got the TV going, and you're trying to talk. Would you mute the TV so we can have a conversation? Come on. So there's a scripture in the Bible that actually says, be still and know that I am God. See, because sometimes he doesn't scream at us. Sometimes it's in the form of a whisper. We see that throughout scripture, right? Prophet, remember the one that was looking for him in the earthquake and the lightning and the thunder and all that? And then there was a still small voice. And I think there's something to that when you think about it, that God whispers. Why would he want to whisper? I believe, listen to this, because it means close proximity. Don't you love that? See, if you're across the street, he's got to yell at you. But if you're right next to him, he can just whisper to you. See, that's what God wants. He wants that intimacy. He wants you to be so close that you can just whisper his name and he can hear you. He can whisper your name and you can hear him. Amen? So the goal, really, of these 21 days is this, is to get close to God. Amen? Get in his presence. Get to know God. Number four, share what he says. When you have a word, share it. Samuel did that. You see, there's so many people, before they hear God's voice, they're going to hear your voice that's then going to help them hear God's voice. Think about that. Right? That's why we do small groups. You're not there just for yourself. You're there to help others hear as well. There's a place in Scripture that says, your word is like a fire shut up in my bones. I can't contain it because it's so good. It's so good. I got to share it. I got to share it. It's like an ice cream cone. You know, you got to share it. I know some of you are thinking, no, that's mine. Yeah, no. It's better shared. We've got this little place when we go visit Florida, a little ice cream place, and we like to get ice. We go by there. Look, I eat salads before I go on that trip just to make sure I have room to fit my ice cream in because it's special. And I get that twist kind, you know, the vanilla and chocolate soft serve in the cone. And so we have this tradition when we go down there, we all get our ice cream. And we have to do this real quick before it starts melting in the Florida sun. But you get the ice cream, and then you take a picture of everybody eating the ice cream, and you hold up the first picture of the trip. Everybody holds up one. And the next trip, everybody holds up two. By the end of the trip, you're trying to hold the ice cream in your mouth, holding up nine fingers, whatever, you know. So, and then you take the, hurry, lick it. But, you know, it's just the last time we had eaten a big meal before we came home. It was yesterday, and Kim was too full from the meal, and she was like, it was Friday night. And she said she wasn't going to have any. I said, what? And then I just felt selfish. You know what I'm saying? You got to have your ice cream cone, at least for the picture. So I said, we'll put it between us so nobody can know whose it is. But I mean, it's better shared is what I'm trying to say. It's better shared. When you share God's news, the Bible says, freely you received, freely give. In fact, when it's so good, you just got to taste this. I'm telling you, taste it. It's good. Come on, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you hear something good, you want to share it. Number five, whatever he says to you, when you hear God's voice, do it. Come on, we know this from the first miracle Jesus did at the marriage of Cana, remember? And his mother said to the servants, not knowing exactly what Jesus was going to do when they ran out of wine, but she said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Come on, Nike. Just do it. Just follow the Lord. Obey him. I mean, write this one down. Obedience is our love language to God. You want to communicate to God? You want God to communicate to you, but do you want to communicate to God? Listen to this. Obedience is our love language to God. You see, here's what I've experienced. When I begin to obey God, he releases his destiny for my life when I obey him. Right? I mean, doesn't that make sense? He has a direction for my life. When I'm listening and I'm obeying him, he's able to direct me in the right path. If not, we're going to have drama. We're going to have chaos. We're going to have confusion. In fact, when I disobey God and I listen to everything else, I find myself very confused. You know how we have a very confused generation and society and world right now? A lot of confusion. Why is that? Because we're listening to everything else but God. I want to show you what 1 Samuel, later on in that same chapter, goes on to say in verse 19. It says this, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. And he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. God was with him. Verse 20. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. I love that word, attested. He was proven. He was proven to the people that this is a true man of God because he set himself to hear God's voice. And you can say, well, I've missed hearing his voice. But aren't you thankful that God listens again and again and again, and he hears and God speaks to us, and no matter what we're going through, God is there with us, and so he speaks to us. He doesn't give up on us. When we don't get it right, when we don't have it all figured out, when we're not a highly trained professional, we're just a 12-year-old boy trying to figure this thing out, God speaks to us. Amen. I heard a story, kind of relates to this. I heard a story from a pastor that I've met and love. His name is Dino Rizzo. He's a tremendous pastor. He's on staff at Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama. I heard him share this story. I thought it was a great story. He said that when he was younger, and I probably can't tell this as well as he tells it, but I'm going to try. It's his story, not mine, but it's a great story. It fits so beautifully here. He said that when he was younger, he had a little speech problem. He'd stutter and couldn't pronounce words right. So back in those days, you know, they weren't as tender-handed with things as they are today. It's kind of rough. They referred them to him as resource kids. They were the resource kids. So when he'd come to, you know, get there, he'd get pulled out of class. Come on, resource kids, you know, and they'd go out to a special group until about noon or so, until about recess. And so he was with the resource kids. He said he had a teacher for like 6 years that stayed with him and helped him pronounce words and learned and believed in him and poured into him. But he said, it was rough, you know. He said that he did specialize though in something. He's called honors recess. He was in honors recess, did a great job there, you know, and said he also did something else real well, and that was show and tell. Show and tell. He specialized in show and tell and did a great job with show and tell. But he was talking about how that one day they were going to have this like Super Bowl of show and tell to conclude the year, and everybody's going to do a big show and tell day. And everybody was, so they sent around a list for everybody to write down what they were going to bring for show and tell. And you're kind of supposed to look at the list and make sure that what you're bringing is not what somebody else is bringing. And he on the list, he was the next to the last that to fill in. Or no, let's see. He was the next to the last. And so he put down there G.I. Joe. He's going to bring his G.I. Joe. And there was another kid, and he was one of these that he knew it all. He had it all together. He was always better than everybody else, and he put down G.I. Joe. And he saw that he looked at him, saw what he put down. He thought, well, why would he put down G.I. Joe when he knows I'm bringing a G.I. Joe? Was he trying to do one-up me or something? You know, I don't understand. So the day came, and for show and tell, and then this other kid, they asked him, they said, who wants to go first? He said, I'll go first. So he goes first, and he gets his, he walks up there, and he brings out his G.I. Joe in a box. And he says, who brings a G.I. Joe in a box? He said, I mean, he had a special, you know, room that he kept this preserved G.I. Joe in a box. He began to tell about it, and his dad was outside the door, and his dad was going to take the G.I. Joe and put it back in the special museum room at their house, you know, where he keeps his special G.I. Joe, and it was a scuba G.I. Joe. He said, I never heard of a scuba G.I. Joe. Where's the water? I mean, what's the big deal with a scuba? And so he was showing it, telling how great it was. You can't touch it. It's very valuable. And they said, well, can we pass around? No, you can't touch it. You got to walk around it. You know, you just got to look at it. You can't touch it. You can only look at it. And he thought, man. And so they said, who wants to go next? And Dino said, I do. I'll go next. So he comes up there with his G.I. Joe. And he set his G.I. Joe up there. And he said, my G.I. Joe has been to war. My G.I. Joe has been in the backyard, had an M20 attached to it, had his hair set on fire out in the backyard with the mud and the dirt, with my dog on the chain loose, tearing up my G.I. Joe. It's held together with duct tape. It's been to war. It's been through it. It's got some scars. It's got a story. It's been through. I mean, he just laid it on him, you know. Just, I mean, he's my G.I. Joe. You can kick it around. It has a story to tell. He said that the whole room just exploded, stood and started applauding him for his G.I. Joe, you know, because it was touchable, you know. He got through telling that story. He said, what does that have to do with anything? Here's the thing, and you may be asking the same thing. Listen, God doesn't just hear the G.I. God doesn't just hear the ones that are in the protected special place that's got it all together and perfect. Come on. You've been through some stuff. Maybe you've had your hair set on fire. You've been through some battles, and you're held together with duct tape, and you ain't done it all right, and you haven't always got it all together, and you haven't always listened to his voice, and you haven't always obeyed him, and you're not at the, you, come on, you don't wear a robe, you know, you're not, you don't have a special parking space, you know, you don't have it all together. There's issues in your life. You haven't always done it well, but let me just tell you something. God still speaks to you. God speaks to you. He's not interested in just the elite that's perfect, that's got it all together and just speaks to them. I just want you to know, no matter where you are or where you've been or how low you've gone, listen, God still wants to speak into your life and make a difference in your life. Amen, everybody? God still cares about you. God still speaks to you. I'm just so thankful. God speaks to me. And I believe he's speaking right now. He's speaking right now. Could you just bow your heads with me right now? God doesn't just speak to the perfect. It's the ones in need that need to hear his voice. It's the sheep that's astray that needs to hear him calling. Can you hear him? He's calling your name. We got to allow him to speak into our life. We have to allow him to speak in our life and to begin communicating with us and establish relationship with us. Can I just tell you something? Think about this while your heads are bowed and eyes are closed here. Just think about this. You're important to him. You're valuable to him. You matter to him. Even when you've messed up, he cares for you, and he comes to you to lift you up, to heal you, to restore you, to redeem you, to give you a life, to give you a purpose, to give you a new name, to give you a future. The question is, you're important to him, but how important is he to you? Where does he place in your life? Is he first in your life? you're here today and you're saying, I'm not sure that every area of my life is where it needs to be, or I'm not fully surrendered to Him, and I do need Him to be first in my life, and I am ready to humble myself. My heart's not perfect. I got some things that aren't right, but I need Him. I know I need Him, and I'm willing to hear His voice and Him speak into my life and change my life and give me direction. I want to help lead you in a prayer today. If you're here today and you need to pray a prayer of surrender, whatever that looks like, whether it's coming back to Him or for the first time, or you just need an area and you're like, you just need to surrender to the Lord, I want to pray a prayer of surrender. If you're watching online, I want you to join us as well. But right now, if that's you, say, when you pray that prayer, would you include me in that prayer? Would you count me in? I'm going to help lead you. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front while heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray with you. But that's you today. Say, Pastor, when you pray a prayer, would you count me in? Could you just slip up a hand? I just want to know who I'm praying with. Amen. God bless you today. Good job. Yes, yes, yes. I want everybody just to join me and help and support. Just, if you would, just everybody just pray this out loud for those that need to pray this. So just for privacy, come on. This is between you and God. But I just want to help lead you. Come on, just pray something like this. Everybody out loud. Say, today, Jesus, I surrender. I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my past, my present, and my future. I open myself to you, God. In every area of my life, I invite you to come in. Forgive me for going my way. With all my heart, I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I need your direction in my life. Today I commit myself. I give myself to you. Thank you for paying the price on the cross so I could know you and so I could have all my mistakes, all my failures, all my sins forgiven. By faith, I accept what you did for me. By faith, I accept you. I receive you now. Come on, say this. I give you my life. And with all my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. Father, thank you for every person who prayed that prayer. I pray over them now. Oh, precious Jesus, thank you, Lord, for today. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. I thank you, Lord, for new life. I thank you, Lord, for tuning our ears to hear you, God. I celebrate, Lord, all those that have made the best decision of their life. God, I pray, God, your guidance, your hand upon them, Lord. God, now let everything change from the inside out, God. Begin the change within. Lord, God, I thank you for joy. I thank you for peace, God, that comes as we follow you. Oh, God, not just being a believer, but being a follower. Lord, we follow you. We follow you now. We follow you now. We thank you, Lord. We pray, God, your will be done. God, and as a church, help us as a church to follow you fully, to go after you with all of our heart, to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. God, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.